Praise the name of Jesus. You know, there was, if you remember the Gishagi, and you see chicken that have been rained on, they look very miserable. They look like they can't even move. They just sit. And I regretfully feel that's how we are this morning. You know, feel like we are so downcast, like there is no energy. Perhaps it might help if we came together, because then we can make, you know, warm each other up. And then as you do that, I'm going to ask Sister Kate to lead us in some choruses that will probably make us feel a little bit warm. But let's also, you know, come nearer so that even our kids can have fellowship with one another. That's what families are all about. So let's just have a warm fellowship as we move together. Kate.
Hello, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are happy to be here on the last Sunday of 2015? I mean, I'll keep on saying that because I know it has been the faithfulness of the Lord that has carried each one of us through. Praise the Lord. And though we may be few in number, we just want to dance. We may not have instruments. Well, if you can play the instruments, you can jump on here. But I want us to just open up our mouths and just sing praises to God. Even if just two praises, and just celebrate the goodness of God. He has been faithful. Yes, He has been faithful. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Baraka za Mungu Baba Niza. Baraka za Mungu Baba Niza. Zaweza kuna juu, zaweza kuna chini, zaweza kuna mbele, zaweza kuna nyuma. Upande upande kwa mata, imba upande upande kwa mata. Oh, furaha ya Mungu Baba Niza. Furaha ya Mungu Baba Niza. Yaweza kuna juu, yaweza kuna chini, yaweza kuna mbele, yaweza kuna nyuma. Upande upande kwa mata, imba upande upande kwa mata. Oh, nangemiza Mungu Baba Niza. Nangemiza Mungu Baba Niza. Zaweza kuna juu, zaweza kuna chini, zaweza kuna mbele, zaweza kuna nyuma. Upande upande kwa mata, imba upande kwa mata. Oh, Yahweh, 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 tunakuimbia. Yahweh, 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 tunakurukia. Yahweh, 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 tunakuabudu. Yahweh, 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 tunakuinua. Yahweh, 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 tunakusujudu. Yahweh, 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 tunakubariki. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Shangwe, hallelujah, shangwe, hallelujah. Ona shangwe chokurukia, shangwe, hallelujah. Ona shangwe chokuimbia, shangwe, hallelujah. Ona shangwe chokutukuza, shangwe, hallelujah. Ona shangwe chokubariki, shangwe, hallelujah. Ona shangwe, hallelujah, shangwe, hallelujah. Hey. Ona shangwe, Baba ni Baba, shangwe, hallelujah. Ena shangwe, kekimbilio, shangwe, hallelujah. Hey. Ona shangwe, hallelujah, shangwe, hallelujah. Oh. Ona shangwe, hallelujah, shangwe, hallelujah. Shangwe. Why don't we just lift up our voices and shout to the Lord? He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're mighty, you're awesome, oh God. There is none like unto you, Abba Father. Blessed be the name of God. thank you, Lord. We thank you. We bless you, Lord.
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Kate. That's what we needed. Now at least there is life. Praise the name of Jesus. I think there are so many of our neighbors that are not with us this morning. But it is okay because maybe, I hope they are fine. There has been these storms and tornadoes that hit the Garland area. So if you can you reach out to those people in Garland, in Wiley, in Roy City, Rolette, and Saxe, just to make sure that they are okay. We don't know why they're not here with us, but let's remember them. Let's call them, let's text them. That's why we are here together as brothers and sisters. Thank you very much, Lorraine. So our text for today will be Luke and chapter 6. But before we go to our text, I'd like to welcome Brother Ben and Beth Joki. And today is Njoki's birthday. Happy birthday, Joki. So if you can, visit with her, just tell her happy birthday, and I'm sure she'll feel blessed. So we want to do a song. It might be better to stand here. Sometimes you look back and you wonder, could it have been better? Is there something that I could have done differently? It is well. It is well with my soul. Thankfully, God has given us new opportunities. Every day is a brand new day that He gives us. Every day. To forget about the things that we did yesterday and to start afresh. Every day is an opportunity to start afresh. So yesterday we may have goofed. Yesterday we may have messed up. But every day He gives us a fresh new day to start again. What an honor that God gives us. It is well with my soul. It doesn't matter the losses of yesterday. It doesn't matter the pains of yesterday. It is well with my soul. Luke chapter 6. And this is about the Beatitudes. I know when you're in Sunday school, you are told they were called Beatitudes. But whatever you call them, that's okay. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 20. Let's start from 17, and then we'll read up to 22 or 23. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of His disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch Him, for power came out from Him and healed all of them. Verse 20. Then He looked up at His disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what the ancestors did to the prophets." Heavenly Father, we pray that you may open our minds. Almighty God, we pray that you may open our understanding, that you may be able to receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is a strange passage. Rarely do you get people preaching on the Beatitudes because it's a sermon, so you can't preach a sermon on a sermon. But I want to attempt and do that today. And I'll start with a brief story. Not too long ago, probably maybe about 2 months ago, I got an email from my doctor that I haven't visited with her for a while. You know, that I'd already passed the mileage. I needed an alignment, needed a tune-up, and all those things that, you know, that happened. So as I drove and to the parking lot, and I was going towards the doctor's plaza, there was a lady that was coming towards me. The reason I noticed is because it was so hot, and you had to have a reason why you're walking in that hot sun. So I saw somebody coming, but I didn't pay attention. So I just started walking, you know, as I was walking, and this lady was walking towards me. But then I noticed that she was smiling, you know, at me. And I had no idea who she was. So my mind was running really fast. I was trying to figure out, so who is this? And I thought, you know, this innate or innate amnesia. You know, so have I forgotten now? Who is this now? You know, Jelly, Jokey, you know, so many names were going through my mind. But I couldn't figure her in my mind at all. She's, you know, strange. And then she greeted me. She was right there in front of me. And then she greeted me, you know, with such happiness. Hello. And so, you know, still with that confusion, because I was sure something is wrong somewhere, I said, hi. And we greeted. And then her eyes became watery. And then she started crying. I mean, seriously. And she was sobbing, you know, loudly. And I was like, now, what have I done? You know, I mean, God, what is this? In a hot sun, I'm going to see the doctor, and here is this woman, and she's crying for a reason that I do not know. After several loud sobs and numerous attempts, you know, trying to tell her it's okay, and I was not even sure what was wrong. It's okay, it's okay. She slowly calmed down. Came to find out, she's a cancer survivor. And she had just come from visiting with her doctor. And when she saw me, she saw the image. She saw her father. So when she saw her father, she was so excited because she hadn't seen her father in about a year. And she was so happy because her father, who lives in Shreveport, had probably come to be with her during this moment that she needed somebody, you know, in her life. And that's when Julius was walking, you know, to her. I was not sure what to do, but friends, at that time, I spent about 30 minutes. I forgot about my service appointment, but I became a dad to this distressed person. And we talked about family. We talked about her children. We talked about dreams. You know, the kind of things that, you know, ladies talk to their dads about. Basically, I played dad to this lady. To this day, when I think of that hot summer, of what happened, it literally surprises me that people are in so much distress and that all they're looking for is a word of encouragement, a word of hope. When life bombards us with unexpected issues, or when we remember, that's when we actually start remembering the promises of God, and we set to start hunting, you know, for God's truth. What does the Bible say about my condition? What does God talk about my situation? And at such times, when we're in those valleys, that's when you want to hear that word. It's going to be okay. That's when you want to hear those words. You can make it. That's when you want to hear, let your heart not be weary. So, those of you who know me, you know I try running. I will not say that I run. I just try. On November 7th, there was the I'm Second Marathon. And my dear wife, Charity, had gone ahead and registered us to go and run, and had not prepared well. But every morning she was doing like several miles. So anyway, I had not prepared at all. And so when the race started, you know, the way you say, I'll do it, I can do this, I mean, it's no big deal, I'll do it. So when we went running, after what I thought was forever, you know, the race was not ending, and I thought I'd finished it. But after running and running and running, I honestly felt, you know, I can't do this thing. Why am I even here in the first place? I didn't even register this thing. It was not me. He and my charity. You know, and so many things were going through my mind. And you know, when you're running, you know, your mind is very fresh. And I started, you know, speaking to myself. And I was telling myself, you know, you can actually stop running. There's nothing wrong. Even these people who are running here, many of them are going to drop out. And I was encouraging myself, and I was telling myself how it's don't feel guilty. It's okay. That time my legs are hurting, you know, my feet are burning. You know, I just want to I can't continue doing this thing. And honestly, I changed my lane. You know, I was to a slower lane, and I started slowing my pace. And as I slowed my pace, an elderly lady, she came right behind me, and she had a very steady pace. And she came and she put her hand on my shoulder, and she told me, "You can't stop now. The end is just around that corner." Friends, let me tell you, we took off with that lady and we ran like we are running, you know, for our dear lives, and we finished that race strong. You should see the pictures, you know, when you are lifting our hands, yay! But the truth be told, you are actually giving up. I would actually have given up had not been for this lady who told me, actually, the end is right behind that corner. And it was not, that corner was very far. But because of that encouragement, because of that assurance, I was able to run on. In moments of hopelessness and when you feel that you're alone and you have nobody to help you, those words of encouragement, you can make it. They are very powerful. Those words that sometimes we ignore, that sometimes you say, what do I tell them? Just put your shoulder in that person. Sometimes putting your hand on that person who is suffering or who is struggling, it means a lot. It speaks volumes. Are we still together? And so in the text that we have just read, Jesus is somewhere in a mountain with his disciples. Jesus was praying, and then the time came for him to come down. And as this multitude had formed together, they had gathered from different places to come and listen to Jesus. These people had walked long distances, some of them to be healed, some of them to be delivered of their ailments. And if you know the regions, if you can go and look at those maps that we've talked about, Judea, Jerusalem, Sidon, and Tyre, there are long distances to walk, you know, to be in a central place. So technically, we are saying that, you know, people walked almost 25 miles to come and see Jesus. So you must have had a reason to go and see these men. So many of them were tired. Many had journeyed the whole night. Many for 2 days. Many for 3 days or even a week to be where Jesus was. Some were exhausted, not because of the walk, but because of their ailment. But I imagine that these people who had formed this multitude, they had encouraged each other. They had spoken to one another. They had shared their struggles with one another and told them, you know, this is what my problem is. But I heard about Jesus, and I heard that he's a savior. I heard that he's a healer. I hear that he's a deliverer. So that's where I'm going. I hear that he's in the mountaintop somewhere there in the jungle. So that's where I'm going. Are you going to come with me? And this person will say, yeah, let's go. And as they go, they find somebody else who is downcast, who is probably on the wayside. And they tell him, you know, we are going to see Jesus. We heard that he's a healer. We hear that he's a deliverer. So why don't you join me and let's walk together? And they joined him. And they went, you know, they formed a bigger crowd. And they kept on going and encouraging one another. I want to imagine that this journey became hard for them, became tiring for them, became exhausting for them. And I want to imagine some of them, like me, running that marathon, were almost ready to give up. But somebody comes and holds their hand on their shoulder, said, you can't give up. You can't stop now. We got to see Jesus. We got to move on. We've got to move on. You can't stop here. You came for a purpose. Remember the struggles you have. Remember the pain. Remember the illness. Remember the ailment. We can't stop here. We need to move on. Jesus is just right there. That's where the mountain is. That's where Jesus is. We need to move on. And I want to imagine that this multitude kept on growing and growing, because no man was being left behind. No woman was being left behind. No person who left their village with a purpose was being left behind. They encouraged one another. They walked together. So when Jesus came from the mountain, he found this great multitude waiting for him. And he settled on a level place. He deliberately allowed himself to be touched by these people. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and imagine these people who have been walking for 3 days. Where were they having their showers? This place was not as cold as it is, so perspiration was not limited. These people were walking in a hot desert, so perspiration was highest. So you can imagine that stingy smell from somebody who has been perspiring for so long, you know. But Jesus deliberately came to their level. He came to where they were, and he allowed himself to be touched by these people. And as they touched him, they were receiving their healing. As they were touched, those who had ailments, they were going away. Those who were in depression, the depression was going away. Those who were tormented by spirits, they were being calmed down. He was right there in their midst. Now, you know, for us who, and basically I think it's for everybody, because politicians are politicians. Once you become a politician and you start driving that black car, the first thing you do is you have a bouncer, you know, because you don't want to be touched by anybody. You don't want anybody coming from, and these are the same people who elected you, but you don't want them anywhere near you. Or even preachers that you know, many preachers actually, when the congregation starts, like when the congregation is this small, we keep on telling people, pass sambaza or talk to somebody, invite a neighbor, invite your friends, invite you know, reach out to your neighbors, let them come to the house of God. When they come to the house of God and the church is full, the pastor who was going visiting everybody in their houses now cannot be reached. He has a bouncer. You can't even reach him. These guys, you try to, you know, I just want to, they elbow you. You know, in a way that you will not even reach there again. But not with Jesus. He didn't even know these people. But he just allowed himself to go and be in them. The Bible says that he came down to a level place. From the mountain to a level place. He could have decided, no, I'm going to sit up there in the mountain. I will speak from there so that my voice can project. He could have justified it, but he said, Apana, this fellowship was so good with the disciples. He was enjoying the fellowship after the prayer meeting. But he decided, no, I will go down where the needs are. I will go down to those people who are struggling. I will go down to those people who are suffering. I will go and be with them. And as he went there, people were touching him. People who had not changed their clothes. People who are sweating. People who didn't even know how to brush their teeth. People who are, you'd not want to be in their midst. But Jesus purposed to be there. And he met every one of them. He met them at the point of their needs. After he delivered them, after they were healed, then the other thing that really happened to these people is very interesting, because Jesus started looking at them. And when he looked at them, he saw them beyond the mask that they had. You know, oftentimes as Christians, like today, this morning, you have a Sunday mask. So when you went and did whatever you did, you dressed up, you put on a Sunday mask. Truth be told, if that mask can actually be removed, there is pain, probably. There is anguish. There is anger. There is frustration. Or there is something. So what am I going to do about this thing? You know? Maybe even some of you that are here probably are still thinking, when will this guy stop talking so I can go and do this? Because there are things that are in your mind. Your mind is going so fast. That's the reality. We are humans. But Jesus saw these people beyond the mask that they had. He saw people stricken with poverty and hardly able to meet their daily needs. People rejected by government systems. Every time you apply for something from the government, you're rejected. He saw people who have been turned away by health insurance. He saw people who could not get jobs because they had no permanent address or because they had served time in jail. He looked at each one of them and he saw pain and suffering beyond their beaming faces. He saw the tears of the wife whose husband was recently shot and killed in San Bernardino. He saw parents weeping. Weeping brothers and sisters, spouses and friends of loved ones who had died too soon. He saw faces of desperate refugees running from one crisis right into another. He saw the tears of a father holding his weak child who was too hungry and exhausted to even cry. He saw people who had suffered hate because of their religion, because of the color of their skin, because of their sexual orientation, or because of their visa status. He looked and saw those the society had cast out, those that the community had rejected, those that the government had oppressed and ignored. And he saw their neediness and he purposed to meet those needs. He blessed them. Every one of them who came there with a need was blessed. Now the word blessed in Greek means Makarios. You all remember, I think there was a Makarios bishop in Kenya. So Makarios means the blessed one. So Makarios is from the word mark. So that mark, the word mark means to enlarge. The word mark means to elongate. The word mark means to be in a position of envy, to be in a position whereby people will be envying you. You know, this person has prospered. This person is so blessed. He's so full. He has everything together. In a position that people will be where they desire to be there. And so, in the context of our text today, by Jesus blessing them, he was not just wishing them well and patting them on the shoulders, telling them it was going to be okay. What he was actually saying He was in fact placing them in a position where they would be restored. What they had lost would actually be restored. Like what Prophet Joel says in chapter 2 and verses 25, that I will restore your lost years, or the years of the locust and the caterpillar destroyed. When those in bondage would be set free, where darkness would be turned into light, where the oppressed would receive justice, where sorrow would be turned into joy. When Jesus looked at them, he declared, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now you and I do know that being poor is not just to have little money or not being able to have any income at all. It could also mean spiritual poverty. You're being so spiritually poor, you can't do anything on your own. But Jesus was declaring, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." In essence, his offer to the poor is that, "Make my home your home. What I have is yours. Make yourself comfortable." And then he turned to those that were hungry and he told them, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Jesus saw their hunger and blessed them. Friends, hunger is not written on people's faces. If today I was to scan right across my eyes, I would not know who had breakfast and who has not had breakfast this morning. But maybe there could be one who is hungry, has not had a meal, or came from work, like my brother Sam was saying, haven't had a decent breakfast this morning. Some of my strongest memories as a youth was actually when I was hungry. It's a long story, but I'll just give you the piece that is relevant for this time and now. And what would actually happen would be, there was a church that we used to attend to, and Ben knows this church very well. It's called the Church of God in Mariakani. And they used to have conferences, council meetings every other week. And believe it or not, I used to volunteer to go and clean, you know, after the wazirs, the elders have done their businesses, so that we can be given food. And these were leftovers. But you know, as much as I do know, that when you eat food, the stomach does not ask whether, "Is this a leftover?" You just eat and you are full and you're okay. So I used to be excited knowing that this is the day, today we are having a council meeting. And honestly, I would feel so happy because I know today I'll sleep full. Those are the strongest memories I have as a youth. And Jesus looked at the hungry people and he said, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." But perhaps for some it was spiritual hunger. Having that spiritual hunger and you just can't get enough because you don't have the time, because of the work schedule that you have. You don't have time. Even by the time you're driving, you know, there are phone calls that are coming in. By the time you reach there, the child you're looking at or the patient you're having, there is an emergency. And every day becomes a replay of the other one. And so spiritually you become so empty and you're hungry. But the Bible says, Jesus looked at them and said, "Blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be satisfied." And then the next one is those who are weeping. Now, weeping is not something simple. You know, there is a difference between crying and weeping. Crying, you can just cry and then it just goes. But weeping is something that comes from deep down. It's something that is really very painful. It's something that is coming from the very depths of your heart. It's a pain that is coming from the very depths of your heart. So this is not just something easy. It's not just something light. It is something that is really affecting you. You know, something that has really touched the very core of who you really are. Too many were frustrated and felt powerless against the events that had happened to their families, causing grief and pain. I think of families who have lost loved ones. All these stories that we hear in the news, you know, somebody has been shot and killed. That is somebody's father. That is somebody's brother. That is somebody's uncle. Shot and killed. We hear of cases. Was it today as we were driving with Andrew and I was telling him a story I just heard this morning of a person who was trying to drive through I-30 yesterday when the storm was coming in, and then decided to back up as the tornado was crossing the valley, the road, and he never made it. The tornado literally came and swept the car and thrown off the road, found dead. Somebody's father, somebody's uncle. These are the things that make people weep. Or when these gunmen just go to a place and just shoot senselessly. Or you go to a mall and somebody just shoots and that's it. It causes deep pain. And when Jesus looked at these people, he saw people who are in deep pain. And he told them, blessed are you who weep now. You will laugh. The Bible reminds us in the psalmist in chapter 30 verse 5 saying that weeping endures for the night. But joy comes in the morning. Yes, now there may be a moment that I'm weeping. Yes, right now something is really hurting me and I'm feeling so desolate. I'm feeling so frustrated over this pain, over this loss. But I know that my morning is coming. I know that my morning is coming. For every weep, my friend, there will be a time for laughter. And finally, and certainly not the least, probably I think the most important, he blessed a group comprising those that were hated and rejected just because. Just because. They were rejected or they were hated because they had served time in jail, because they were refugees, because they were Muslims, because they were black, because they were gays and lesbians, because they could not fit in the social class, because they were undocumented immigrants. They were hated just because they could be hated. And Jesus, looking at this group, tells them, blessed are you when people hate you. It is okay to be hated because you have a blessing that has been set aside for you. When you're excluded from meetings, when people plan things and they say, don't put Milka there, put so and so. They just hate you because they can hate you. When people are planning for something and say, no, don't call Julius, just call Pastor. It's okay. When they just hate you because they can hate you, he said, it's okay. When Jesus looked at this multitude, he saw that pain. He saw people who are suffering because they've been sidelined, because they've been rejected, just because they are who they are. And they can't change it. Things that are completely out of their control. I think of this group, and I don't know what your position is, but my position is that no human has any right to suffer or to make another one suffer. Nobody has that right. So when I think of the Oakland and Cedar Springs attacks on the gay and lesbians community, they are being beaten, being attacked, just because they are gays and lesbians. It's evil. That's all I can say. It is evil. It is just the reverse can also happen. Because you can also be attacked because you're a Christian. You can also be attacked because you believe in Jesus. Or a Muslim can also be attacked because they are Muslims. So who is attacking them? What is the position of the person who is attacking these people, causing such anguish and pain just because I have a position in something that is different from yours? Why don't you leave me alone and do what you believe that is correct for you? Because I also have my own position. People, we hate people. We dislike people. We don't want to associate with people because when we look at them, they are not like us. The Kikuyus and Jaluos. The Kalenjins and the Kikuyus. The Kambas, I don't know, and who, and the Nandis or the Luyas and Ben. What you got him in Nakosana now? You know, you just hate people because they are from a different tribe. When Jesus looked at the multitude, he didn't care that these are Judaists or these are whatever. He just blessed them. He said, blessed are you when you weep. There will be a time for laughter. He said, blessed are you when you're hated. Because when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they defame you, in so doing, they are almost rejecting the Son of God. Because that's where the creation really began. So when you reject me because I'm going east and you're going west, then you are really rejecting this creation, this part of me that was actually created by God. So when the undocumented people, and this could be us, when you and I work so hard to earn an honest living and we are hated for that, when the Syrian refugees are denied entry on grounds of security, and let's go there, even when the gays and lesbians are attacked just because they're gays and lesbians, it doesn't go unnoticed. There is one who is above you and me who sees it and he says, you're blessed. There is one who is above you and me and he says, you're blessed. When you go to your workplaces and you're being hated and you're being ridiculed and plans are being done outside of you and you're just coming to learn what is happening, it is okay. It is not passing. It is not going unpassed or unnoticed. God is seeing that and he says, I'll bless you. And so here I'll throw a stone at each one of us. When is it that we have embraced others, even when they are negative from what we are, from who we are? When us who are, you know, we have no province. You know, some of us who came from nowhere, we just found ourselves moving from place to place. And then we come to people, pastor and some, you know, from Rift Valley, very rich province, or others who come from Central Province, or others who come from the Western Province. So they dislike people who are Watuamta, you know, because we don't belong anywhere. You know, we are rejected, we are hated. Tunasema ni sawa, Mungu anaona. And when God sees, he blesses. So what power, what right do I have to hate anybody? What right, what power do I have to speak negative against somebody who doesn't come from where I come from? Or somebody who doesn't speak the way I speak, or somebody working from where I work. So what, because I'm an accountant and somebody else is a CNA? Friends, in the text that you have read, there are two things that are happening. The first thing that is happening is there is a multitude. And this multitude begins with one person. This person comes, examines himself and says, you know what? I cannot make it on my own. I gotta seek the Savior. I'm going to seek the Deliverer. I'm going to seek the one who can change my life. I'm going to seek one whom, when I encounter him, he will change my destiny. In the process of thinking that way, he starts walking towards where he thinks or he knows where Jesus will be. And as he goes, finds Monica on the way. And Monica says, Julius, where are you going? You know, I can't continue on my own. These struggles are too much for me. I've heard that Jesus is on the mountaintop. That's where he's going to be speaking on Sunday. I am going there because I believe that's where that's where I'm going to get my salvation. That's where I'm going to get my healing. And Monica says, you know what? With my diseases, with my ailment, I'm also coming with you. I heard that Jesus is a healer. So Julius and Monica start going. As we go, we find Alan. And Alan says, Mwadhieko, we heard of Jesus and we tell him the same thing. So people start building up together because we are all needy people. As long as we are humans, there is a need that we have. So this multitude grows, and it is growing because we're encouraging one another and telling them, do not stay in your situation. Do not stay where you are. There is a Savior. There is a Deliverer. Let's go to Jesus. He's going to change our destinies. But the other thing also is that some of them were weak. Some of them don't have the strength because we are all from different levels. And they were encouraging each other and telling each other, you can't stop here. We got to move on. And this multitude grows bigger and bigger because of the encouragement. The second thing that is happening in this text is the encounter with Jesus. That willingness and saying, you know, I cannot do it on my own. Somebody coming and saying that, you know, most of the times we own illnesses and diseases. You know, this is mine. This is kamurimuga akwa. You know, this is kagonjwa kangu. But at that moment, when you hear, this is the moment. This is what I need to do. I need to touch his hem. I need to touch Jesus because power is flowing from him. There is healing power flowing from him. You know, and you'll do all that you can to be able to touch him so that when you leave that place, you leave that place transformed and changed. But I wonder if that one person didn't speak to the second person and the second person didn't encourage the third person, if this group of people didn't see the ones that are falling on the wayside, you know, too weak to be able to carry on, too weak to be able to walk on, continue on that journey, I wonder if there would have been a multitude. There's a role that you and I can play in the community of faith. There's a role that you and I can play in encouraging the children of God. It may be a small action. It may be nothing. You don't even have to come and announce it here in the platform. You just need to go and hold somebody's shoulder and say, it's okay. It is okay. I understand. I may not have an answer for you, but I understand. It may be something as little as telling some or sending a WhatsApp or a text to somebody and says, you know, I heard what you're going through. I am praying for you. You don't know what that word will mean to this person. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Let's not just sit back and do nothing. Let's encourage one another. Let's visit one another. Let's tell them you're not alone. We are together in this. I don't know how I can help you. If there is anything that I can do, please tell me. I'll be there for you. So where do we go from here? We can stand with people who are hated, even when it is not popular to do so. Even when it's not popular to do so, we can do it. We can stand, we can come out of our comfort zone and go and help those people who are suffering, those people who are in turmoil. We don't have to go hunting for them. They are right here in our midst. We know people. We know. We have own people that we relate with, we associate with, and we know somebody's going through a hard time. Be that agent for that person. Go and encourage that person. Tell this person you can make it. Tell them that the finishing line is just around the corner. You can't stop here. You got to keep moving on. On Monday last week, for those of you who catch up with the news in Kenya, of course, I'm sure you read about this bus from Northern Province that was being attacked by the Al-Shabaab militia. And the gunmen were frustrated because they couldn't be able to identify who the non-Muslims were. They wanted to kill them. This is at night. They stopped the bus, and they got into the bus, and everybody there, you know, had hijabs, and they had scarves on, and they wanted to kill. They were saying, help us identify who the non-Muslims are. We want to kill them. But the Muslims had covered the Christians, or the non-Muslims. They had given them their hijabs. They had given them their scarves. And the Muslims were saying, if you want to kill people, you're going to have to kill all of us. You have to kill all of us. They stood with the non-Muslims. Now you tell me, when God, the Creator in heaven, looks down, is he identifying the Christian and the non-Christian, or the Muslim or the non-Muslim? Or is he seeing an act of God being done among them? Where humanity is coming to reality. Where I can see somebody suffering and say, it doesn't matter, I'm going to help this man. Whether you come from, I don't care whether you're Kikuyu, Nandi, you're an Englishman, you're Irish, whoever you are, I will go out and tell you and encourage you and speak words of hope to you. The Muslims the militia was so frustrated, they eventually left. And the only person I hear that was shot was somebody who was running away. And sometimes when you run away from the security area, even from a place of peace, sometimes that's when you get harm. And that was the only person that was killed. These Muslims embraced humanity, the very core that brings humanity together. Friends, for many people outside there, the people that you work with, where you work, some of them you may not even like them, and that's okay. But do you know that you are the only face of Christ? Some of you, they may ever see. You are the face of Christ that they may ever know. And so some kindness, some hope, even when this person is so irritating, sometimes a positive voice might help change that stubborn spirit in that person. When Jesus looked at these people, there was pain and there was frustration. And sometimes when you're in pain and frustration, sometimes anger comes out, because how am I going to survive? How am I going to feed these children? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to be able to pay all these car notes? How am I going to be able to move on? But that voice of hope, don't worry. Something is going to work out. Is it okay for me to pray with you? Is it okay for me to pray for you? And this person starts softening up, because that's the reality. We all go through hard times. Understandably, we may not be able to solve or to change the world. But like I've always said, we can change the world of one person and help him or her encounter the Creator. Help that person to be able to meet Jesus, who is transforming lives. Transforming lives, just that encounter. And I don't have to do anything else. It's like multi-level marketing. All that I need to do to you is just to help you be able to reach. This is a source of power. And then I stand back and God starts working in your life. William Harrison Bill Withers is somebody that probably you don't know. But you probably know the song that he wrote. Lean on me when you're not strong. This is how it goes. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we arise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow, for no one can fill those of your needs if you don't let me know. You just call on me when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Are you going to lend your shoulder to somebody? Are you going to be that voice of encouragement that somebody is looking for? What are you going to do? 2015 is gone. 2016 is coming. But people with needs will continue surrounding you. What are you going to do? The multitude grew because they encouraged one another. What are you going to do? Let's pray, shall we? Almighty God, Holy One, you are our mother, our father, and we are your children. Open our eyes and our hearts so that we may be able to discern your work in the universe and be able to see you in every one of your children. May we learn that there are many paths, but all those paths lead to you. Help us to know that you have created us for family, for togetherness, for peace, for gentleness, for compassion, for caring, and for sharing. Help us to know that you want us to care for one another as those who know that they're sisters and brothers, members of the same family, your family, the family of God. Help us to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks so that we may be able to live in peace and harmony, wiping away the tears from the eyes of those who are less fortunate than ourselves, and comforting those that are weeping, those that are standing with those in distress, those rejected by systems and those hated by communities. And may we know war no more as we strive to be what you want us to be. Nothing else but your children. And we also want to remember them of us that are not with us this morning. Perhaps those in Garland area, and we don't know what has happened to them, but we are praying that God of protection and God of care, that you'll be there with them. For those in Saxe, those in Rolette, those in Roy City, we are praying for your covering. We are praying for your presence. We are praying for your protection upon their lives, O God. And every other area, Lord Jesus Christ, which has been affected by this calamity, these tornadoes today, we are praying for safety of your children. Help us, Lord, even as we leave this place today, to extend out and text out and find out what is going on with them, that we may be that voice of hope, that voice of encouragement. Where there is destruction, O God, may your peace, Lord, be present in their lives, O God. We thank you for this gathering this morning, this last Sunday of 2015. May this message, God, be engraved in our hearts and in our lives, even as we go on to 2016. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.